Yeah, it doesn't feel like summertime. Come on, man.
Broadcasting from the Nationwide Auto Finance Studios.
This is Q105 WQQO, Sylvania, Toledo.
A Cumulus station.
The Denny Schaefer Show on Q105.
Susie, is it ever going to get spring? I mean, I can't even think about summertime. It's
28 degrees right now in Toledo? 28 degrees. Are we ever going to get to spring?
Next week,
Forget about summertime.
Unbelievable. Sunny today with a high of only 43. What did we do wrong?
I don't know. Move to the Midwest.
That could be. Partly sunny and 38 tomorrow. Sunny and 38 on Sunday. Glorious. Oh, it's 28 right now at the Cumulus compound. All right. We have a big celebrity on the line to talk about one of the hottest movies in the country. It was number 3 last week behind Black Panther and Tomb Raider. And it has everything to do with this song. Song we all know. A very piercing, emotional song. And when you see the movie, if you don't cry when you hear this song, I believe you're dead inside.
I can only imagine.
Because I was sobbing like a child when I went to the movie Wednesday night.
This is my favorite song.
When I die, we're playing this song at my funeral. Susan, promise me.
All right.
As my work wife, Trisha.
Oh, absolutely.
Back her up.
Yeah.
Paul, oh, you and I won't be friends by then.
I always thought this song was about seeing Jesus, too.
So
and
did
it's
I.
Not.
In a way.
In a way it is, but.
No, it is. It totally is.
I don't think that's the best story.
It is. See, that's the beauty of music. It can mean that for you.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to have these questions answered. Maybe if we just talk to somebody that
knew.
Oh,
there's a thought.
Yeah. Oh, should I get to him now? By the way, they redid the song for the movie. They have a movie version of the song. What? This is the updated version. You'll hear it at the end when they give you all the stuff of like where they are now and, you know, their mug shots. Oh, no, wait.
They don't have mug shots.
This is kind of bouncy. I kind of want to do aerobics.
It's more summer driving music.
Don't you want to do aerobics? Yeah. Yes. Drive very, very fast.
Put the windows down.
All right, let's quit screwing around and let's talk to Bart Miller, the lead singer of Mercy Me, my favorite band, Christian band right now. Hello, Bart. Welcome to the show. I'm Denny. How's that for a lead-in?
Man, I just want to stay on hold and keep listening to you guys.
We're very entertaining. All right, I got a lot to cover with you, so your next interview, tell them you're probably going to be late.
Oh, no.
All right,
okay,
so here's question number one, and I don't want to start out being a jerk, but when are you going to play the Huntington Center in Toledo? And I'm not taking no for an answer. When are you coming?
Anytime they'll have me, man. We're at the hands of the promoter.
All right, I want the promoter's number. I need to shake this guy up a little bit because, you know, you get all these bands. You got Elton John that comes. You've got all these big country acts that come. But no mercy me, and believe it or not, seeing you guys is a bucket list item for me.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, like, we just played the Schottenstein not long ago and sold it out. So it's like, we can do the show. They need to get us in Toledo.
Yeah, you need to write that down. It's the Huntington Center. And, oh, FYI, Bart, I think Need to Breathe has been here.
Ooh. Yeah, it figures. They're way cooler than us.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, because I know you guys like each other, so...
Yeah, they've got the skinnier jeans, so it makes them a lot different than
that's awesome.
All right, so the movie is, it was number 3 last week behind some pretty big hitter movies, and I see even the critics have come around now, they don't love Jesus. They're at 67%. 96% of the people that have seen your movie love it. I saw it on Wednesday night, and I don't want to give too much of it away because I don't want to ruin it for people, but did you ever think... that you would ever get to this point in your life where you're going to the theater to see a movie about one of your songs?
Heck no. It wasn't even, you know, it. Yeah, no, I've never even dreamed of anything in the whole movie world. Like, I just write songs. And, you know, I wrote this song back in 1999, and I knew it was special, but had no idea what was going to take place. I remember when it, you know, just out of the blue kind of crossed over to mainstream back when it, you know, in the early 2000s and thought, well, enjoy this because it's, you know, I doubt you're going to see many blatantly Christian songs do whatever it did. But what we're going through right now with the whole releasing an album is nothing compared to what they do to release a movie. I've never seen anything like it. I've never worked harder and it's amazing. It's the response is overwhelming. you know, I think they said they predicted we'd do about 2 million in the box office the first weekend, and it ended up doing 17.1, and right now it's sitting at 26 million and still going up, and Hollywood's freaking out. They're like, where, who, you know, who are you and where did you come from? And it's just a crazy journey. I have no clue where it's going to end up.
All right, Bart Billard, he's the lead singer of Mercy Me, the song I Can Only Imagine, the movie that's out right now. By the way, 11:50 this morning, you can meet Trisha over at the mall. I'm going to go see the movie today because it's awesome. So let me ask you this, Bart. How much of the movie is Hollywoodized and how much is actual fact?
You know, I say it's about as accurate as you can get, cramming 25 years of my life into about an hour and 55 minutes. And, you know, when I first started looking at a script, it's not about what's in it being accurate. It's about how much has been left out. And, you know, and they've got to compress their time frame just to get so many stories in. And so, like, you know, the inaccuracies might be that what appears to have happened like on a Monday and the next event happened on a Tuesday, it may have been a 2-year gap in real life.
So where were you the first time you sang I Can Only Imagine on stage?
The first time I ever sang on stage, I was at like a church auditorium at like the end of a church camp. I think, did you say you've seen it?
The movie, yeah. But the first time you sang the song in the movie, you were at a big time concert. I don't want to ruin it for a lot of people.
Oh, no, I see what you're saying.
The first time I sang it,
if you remember, was when I'm singing in church. So we just wrote this song, and the guy pushes record on the tape deck, and then that tape gets sent to Brickell. But the first time that
you performed
I wanted to throw up and die at the same time was was at the Ryman in Nashville with I can tell you because I've told the story for years, but with Amy Grant and
so that part's legit.
She froze.
Yeah,
the only thing that's not legit about it is that she actually told me that she was given the song back about 4 or 5 days before on the phone. And then she said, I'm supposed to showcase this song as my next El Shaddai, but now that you have it, I'm not canceling the show, so you got to get your butt on stage and sing it with me.
I
was like, what? And so my first time to be in Nashville, the GMA week, the Gospel Music Association week, was getting on stage to Ryman with Vince and Amy and singing Imagine with her, and then she sure enough, like, that was when she announced, this, by the way, this band's Mercy Me, this is their first single, blah, 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 and so they kind of morphed it all into one moment on stage, but in a way, I wish it would have happened that way, because I would have thrown up way less, because those 3 or 4 days of waiting, I was about to die, because I was so scared to death to be on stage with her.
Dude, it's such a great moment, and that's when I started sobbing like a child, and I'm a grown man. All right, so, Dennis Quaid plays your dad. Yeah. He was awesome.
Fantastic.
Oh, he was. That had to be really cool. You get to meet him?
Yeah, we became good. He's big into music, and so we became good friends. They tell you that, you know, these guys, they'll get paid to do their part, and then when they're done, they're gone. You might see them when the movie releases, but you even still normally pay them to come back and do junkets, stuff like that. Well, man, Dennis was all in, and so we talk about once or twice a week still. He'll call me like, hey, man, like, you know, he's always got music questions, and it's really the music connection. But he's a great guy, and it's like my one name drop in my life is that I'm friends with Dennis Quaid, I guess.
So
did he ask you to pray for his wackadoo brother Randy?
Man, you know what? I was so scared to bring up Randy. I never could do it because I was like, what, he may choke me out in his trailer. I don't know what he feels about his brother. You never know those Hollywood types. So
that's
just like,
true.
I don't know how to bring it up or not. I know the dude's in Canada running from tax evasion or something.
Dennis a believer?
Man, he says he is. He grew up in the church, he talked. The only time he talked about Randy is when him and Randy were baptized when they were 10 years old, and he kept talking about how this movie kind of stirred something in him. And he's like, man, he goes, you know, I definitely haven't been living right most of my life. And he said, but he got 2 9-year-old twins. And the first time he watched the movie with them, he called me like at midnight afterwards in tears and said, hey, man, this movie's got me messed up. He goes, I never thought I'd ever be trying to answer God questions to my 9-year-old daughter. And man, he was rattled.
Good.
Who am I to say? I don't know where he is as far as spiritually goes, but everything that I've seen is like, yeah, this guy kind of knows what's going on.
Now, was there any thought of having the actual Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith play their parts themselves in the movie?
No, mainly because nobody else is playing themselves. It was just weird to have the real Amy and Smitty when the fake Bart and the all the other people and the fake Mercy Mead in the movie. And so they wanted to be consistent because it's like, you know, just be and they're significantly older than when all this took place, in a, even though they don't age. But yeah, that was the weird part. They went back and they talked about it briefly, but they're like, yeah, it's like it's just weird that if Bart's not the real life Bart, who is still in a band and still active, you know, it's just weird to have part of it be fake and part of it not. So it totally made sense to me. I think, and Amy, they nailed Amy. Like, Smitty looked kind of like him until the Amy Grant character showed up. And then Smitty just like Josh Groban. He didn't have a chance. But Amy was white.
Yeah, I had to do a double take when the Amy Grant came out. I'm like, wait a minute, is that her? Now, you know who I thought stole the movie, though? Was Brickle, yeah. Trace Adkins. I thought he crushed it.
He absolutely did. Like, you know, and he's done a movie before with the Irwin brothers, the directors of the movie, and the real Brickle, they look like they could be twin brothers. Like he's a, you know, looked like they're giants and intimidating people. And so when we first started the movie, the Irwins are like, well, we know who we're casting first. It has to be Trace's Brickle. And it's so funny because Trace is like, man, you don't want me, you know, and you know, you can get somebody better than me. And then when he saw Brickle, he's like, never mind. I get it. He goes, this isn't for my acting ability, it's just because I'm big.
Now, did it really happen that way where you guys are traveling around in a goofy bus and you actually kidnapped him, so to speak, and he ends up going with you? Because that's a really funny scene in the movie.
Yeah, that one, it happened several times. And so I always say, like, there's a lot of details, like, that Brickle remembers and I don't. And so that's kind of that's an homage to that. I don't know if it actually happened that way. I remember going through that. But I mean, he was on the bus so much against his will that it happened more than once for sure.
Now you also have a book of the same name, I can only imagine, which is on sale now, I'm guessing, at Amazon and all your favorite bookstores. And is that obviously that's a lot more detailed than the movie?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people talk about how normally the book comes first and the movie comes out. Well, I actually was asked if I would like to write the movie. I mean, sorry, write the book while the movie is being made, because you talk about stuff being accurate. Like, I don't know how movies work. So I remember when I first saw the script, I was like, this is not exactly how things happen. And at first I was like worried, like, you know, this is going to, you know, it's got to be this and this, you know, and the tiniest of things that really didn't matter. Like, my high school colors were wrong. And I was like, I don't know what, you know, you tell me to speak up, but I don't know what to say. And they were like, look, first off, you got to relax. And then they were like, this, you know, the main thing is the redemption story, the parts that matter most. And so, because we're going to have to adjust some stuff just to get it all in. And during that time is when I was asked if I'd like to write a book. It was just like therapy, just to kind of like, when they show my mom, when my mom leaves, it gave me a chance to go into great detail of how that really went down and how much she was more of a victim than the movie lets on and stuff like that. So it was the hardest and probably most rewarding thing was trying to do the book and just to go. I'm the guy that Googles all the facts before Hacksaw Ridge is even any kind of true movie done, trying to see how it really happened while the credits are rolling. So the book gave me a chance to kind of do something like that.
Yeah, I do the same thing as Bart Miller, lead singer Mercy Me. The movies I can only imagine, of the song, book of the same name. You guys got a 13-track compilation, I can only imagine, the very best of Mercy Me. You got the studio album Lifer. Can I ask you a question? What's the deal on Happy Dance?
The Happy Dance is the dumbest song we've ever written. We are not very good dancers, but we're good at embarrassing our teenage kids. And so we've been known to put ourselves looking stupid on social media from time to time. And it used to be cool when they were younger, but then they were like, became teenagers, and they were like, can you stop doing that ever? It's embarrassing. Well, that means we got to do it twice as much.
Exactly. I have teenagers. Yeah, I'm the same way.
Totally. And so we thought, hey, you know, it'd be funny if we wrote a song called Happy Dance just so they'd live in fear knowing that it's coming. Come to find out, especially my younger kids, they fell in love with it. And I had to listen to that stupid song about 100 times a day. And so it never was a single, but we made a video strictly for the sake of just humiliating our teenagers and had a blast with it. And now it's become this cult following to where we have to end our show with it every night.
It's really funny.
It's a great song.
And I can't wait to hear it live at the Huntington Center concert to be announced very soon in Toledo, I'm assuming.
Yes. All right. Hold on, so, I'm typing Huntington
Center. Huntington Center, downtown Toledo. You're going to meet Denny, Trish, Susie, well, maybe Paul. Paul needs prayer. We look forward to that. Now, I know you're on a tight schedule, and Trish's husband is a huge, he's like a groupie. He travels around to see you, him and his son, and he has a question for you. Go ahead, Trish.
He wants to know, like, I can only imagine Crossed Over. Is that kind of your hope with other songs? Do you ever feel like your music is preaching to the choir and that you kind of hope that it crosses over more?
I don't know if we sit around and hope. Like, we just, like, a good songwriter writes about whatever consumes their heart, and our heart happens to be consumed with Jesus, and, like, you know, it's just kind of who we are, and I don't think we ever set out with a business plan to say, hey, you know, we want it to go here or there. We kind of leave that in the hands of the label, and you know, it's like, I mean, we would love for everyone to hear our music, you know, no matter where they come from, but I'm assuming the label makes that call, whether it's a financial thing of trying to, you know, get a song promoted in bigger markets. I mean, you got to realize that there is no reason in the world that Imagine would have worked on mainstream. It's like, I remember when it did, we were still like, what do we do now? Like, it's blatantly Christian, and, you know, like, we're going to send them another one? Because this, I don't know what's happening right now. And there was a radio guy that said, just burn the CD and play it once. I dare you to play it once. If you get no reaction, throw it away. And they literally sent that disc to every top 40 station they could back in the day. And the ones that would, there were some that would not touch it with a 10-foot pole. And the ones that did, it went number one or top five at least. And I remember the first station it got played on, we were number one on their station. The voters voted their top 10 in front of 50 sitting in the club for 6 months. And I guess there's, you know, I don't know who makes that call. I mean, we've never sat and go, this one really needs to go to mainstream. We just kind of make the music and let the smarter people do their job.
Bart, it's a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you. Congratulations. God's really blessing you, your band, your family, and the people. I'm telling you, if you go see this movie, you're gonna love it. It is emotional, but it's really, really good.
Yep.
And you know me, if it stunk, I'd tell you. The only thing I question you just a little bit is the bouncy version of the remake, dude. I mean, you can't remake Stairway to Heaven. You can't remake, you know, Faithfully by Journey. And you cannot remake I Can Only Imagine unless you want to use it for a workout video.
Well, yeah, that's for the Zumba crowd, I think. But we went back and forth because they wanted to do a huge version at the end but get like a Carrie Underwood or something to sing it. And the problem is you're hearing the original for the most part at the very end of the movie. And the fan, when they screened the movie, all the fans were like, we want to hear actual Mercy Me sing it. And so we were like, torn, do we play the exact same song again? And I was like, man, we're never going to get this chance. And if they don't like the new version, there's always the old one. And so we wanted to be more this kind of celebratory, like it's the happy ending. It's kind of the kind of movie that you want to feel at the end of a story like this. And so, yeah, but I was a nervous wreck, dude. It's like, it's always get nervous about touching a song like that. But that's right. We still got the old one.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, you do.
All right, Bart. God bless you. And we look forward to seeing you in concert very soon and hopefully going to backstage and meeting you.
Yeah, of course. I'm not coming to Toledo without saying hi because it'll be y'all's fault.
All right. But hold you to it. And, you know, God listens to this show. So, dude, you can't mess with him.
I believe it.
All right, man. Have a great day.
All right. Y'all take care.
Thanks,
thank
Bart.
You. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. That dude is all right.
Yeah, he's all right.
Seriously, go see the movie. You'll love it. Don't move. More to come. Q105.
Q105 weather from the Jim White Toyota Weather Center. Attention, Northwest Ohio. Jim White Toyota. Open 24/7 at jimwhitetoyota.com. Right car at the right price right now.